Greetings and good morning to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and great to be with this morning worshiping our King of Kings. And how about we turn to Book of Revelation chapter 2. Please turn with me to Book of Revelation chapter 2 and from verse 8 to verse 11. This is the message given to the second church, the Smyrna, which the Lord has burdened on the title, verse 10, to be faithful unto death. So if you can please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. How about we read these verses together from verse 8 to verse 11? We shall read it together from chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee crown of life. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Loving gracious Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning. We pray, Lord, for your presence. We seek your blessing upon thy word, upon thy servant, that he may speak to our hearts, and may encourage the church, encourage the body of Christ in this dark world, that we may be faithful. And Lord, as we come in this time and ask your blessing on every soul which hear thy word, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the past few months, I've been looking at the subject of temple and the ark. In the past few weeks, in the past sessions, we looked at the message of the church, the body of Christ, and also we looked at the husband and wife, if you recollect the last month, of being a picture of church. And this morning, the Lord has burdened to continue on the subject, on the message the Lord has given to churches. Though the Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2 is the second church, the Lord burdened me to speak about the verse 10. The key message given to the Smyrna, a church, is to be faithful unto death. Just a bit of background, I did place this map. Some of you may have in your Bibles the map where these churches are placed. As we just looking at the book of Revelation itself, I'd like to bring to your attention, Apostle John writes in chapter 1 of Revelation verse 3, he says it is a blessing to read this, they that hear the words of this prophecy, it is indeed a blessing to read this book. We need to have this book in our Bible of the apocalypse, which the things the Lord has unveiled, which God knows, which has shared with us, the things which is to come, and the messages given to church to encourage and to know what is to occur. When we are reading this book of Revelation, we all know this is written by Apostle John, clearly. And you read it in chapter 1, in verse 9, that he is going through severe tribulation. Even Apostle John, in verse 9, saying, I, John, your brother and a companion in tribulation. So when he's writing this, you see in verse 9, he's in the place called Patmos, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, a place called Patmos, which you just see on the west side, on the just under Ephesus, right? It's a small island. The reason Apostle John is there when he's writing this is because, as you read in verse 9, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he's been in a rocky island. Anybody wants to guess what AD it could be when the Revelation is written, approximately? Yeah, about 95 AD, they say. Most scholars say 95 AD. So how long it's been since the Lord, you know, crucified, risen? It's nearly been 60 years, approximately, you know, 55 or 60 years. So Apostle John is the only apostle who had seems to have a long life. You know, the brother of John, who was the brother of John? James was first, he lost his brother. Remember in Acts, after Stephen, he was killed by a sword. He lost his brother. They were called the sons of thunder. And we also know when we read the gospel, John was very close to the Lord Jesus, right? And on the cross, when he said to John, "Behold, my mother," he committed his mother to John. So John has been faithful. He has witnessed the risen Lord. He's been with the Lord for 3 years. And he has seen the Lord. And he's running this race. Much suffering, much tribulation as you see. And he wants to encourage you and me, even through the messages given to churches. So John is in late 80s or 90s, we don't know. He's in old age. The island of the Patmos is a rocky island. You know, in India you see they take a stone and they crush the stone. So he was a slave. He was in prison and he's writing this particular portion. And I do not know how this, all these precious words was passed on to the churches. So when you look at verse 11, John was taken in the spirit. He was taken to heaven on which day? On the Lord's day. So it was a Sunday, the Lord's day, the first day of the week. He got this message and it was given to 7 churches. And as you read through in verse 20 of chapter 1, you see the Lord's position as the first vision of the Lord, of John, is the Lord is placed in the midst of 7 candles. Midst of 7 candles. The 7 candles represent the 7 churches. The 7 churches. And it also reminds us the Lord is in control of every church. He knows the body of Christ. We just took part in the Lord's table. We are one body. And who is the head of the body? The Christ is the head of body. And he knows through what you're going through. And he knows the nature, the weakness, the positiveness, everything about individual. The church is a body of Christ. We're all individuals of the body of Christ. So as we look at Smyrna, I just want to bring you a bit of a history where we are. As you see, Smyrna is just, we know about Ephesus. We have a letter, Paul's letter written to Ephesus. We did read a few verses, brother, bring to our attention. It's about 30 miles up north, Smyrna. And the Patmos is just about 40 miles off the coast where John is. And these churches, when you read about, you know, about Laodicea, we do read about Ephesus and Laodicea in other letters, right? But we don't read about Smyrna in Acts. I haven't seen a letter written to Smyrna. But we do know this church existed when John is writing this letter in 95 AD. It could be that Apostle Paul, we know that Ephesus is one of the places where Apostle Paul spent most of his time. Nearly 3 years in his mission journey, Paul spent. We also know Peter went to most of the Asia Minor. And also John has an influence in some of this portion as he's writing this letter. Now, with the timing, when we read this letter, there's a severe persecution. We do know in Roman Empire is in place. We hear about the King Nero and the other emperor called Domitian was the emperor. In his time, there was absolutely, if you say Jesus is Lord, you would be put to death. They had to say Caesar, the King Caesar is Lord. We do see this kind of, you know, communist even still exists right now, where in some countries you can't proclaim your faith. But it is beyond your understanding to imagine the tribulation they're going through. It is absolutely bloodbath in the time. And Smyrna was, as you read about Smyrna, Lord does commence about the church. As you come back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, you hear about what is the nature of the church of Smyrna. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Smyrna was not a materially or a wealthy church. They were in poverty. They were in trials. They were already in tribulation. If John is saying, I, the brother in tribulation, even in these cities, the Romans, every church of faith have been going through significant tests for their faith. And they're probably gathering in homes secretly. They're gathering in places where unknowingly. That is how they probably would have gathered, because to be away from the emperor's eyes. Firstly, I know you. I know Smyrna. I know your works. I know what you're going through. Lord was ministering to me, whatever you're going through, whatever position you are in, do you know what? The Lord knows what you're going through. The Lord knows your strengths. The Lord knows your weaknesses. The Lord knows you. If you read in John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 47 to 50, there was a disciple called Nathanael. He was under the tree. And Philip went and called him. And Jesus said to Nathanael after he met him, before Philip called you at the fig tree, I know you, I saw you. Judas was sitting at the last night of the betrayal, on the night he was betrayed, John with the disciples, and Jesus was sitting. In Luke's Gospel 22 and verse 21, the Lord knew the heart of Judas, who was sitting very next to him. I know the one who's going to betray me. In Luke's Gospel chapter 22 and verse 31, you see Peter. He said to Jesus, when Jesus said, I will be crucified, he said, I will go with you in prison. I will die with you. And Jesus said, the very next few hours' time, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And he said, the Satan will swift you like a wheat. I have prayed for you. Be strengthened. And when you overcome, encourage the brother. So the thought is, brothers and sisters, the Lord knows my very next hour. The Lord knows right now. The Lord knows your heart, where you are. And the Lord knew the nature, the strengths, the weaknesses of every church. One of the uniqueness of this church, Smyrna, is when you look at the seven churches, the Lord spoke about commendation, positive and negative and rebukes. But when you look at Smyrna, there are no negatives. And there are no rebukes. There are no rebukes. What was the other church with no rebukes? Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia and Smyrna, Lord only commended. Though they were in poverty, the Lord is telling, you are rich. The richness here is a spiritual richness, which no one can take them. The trial they're facing, but they're spiritually strong. They've been faithful. They've been overcomers. And God is telling, I know you. Though you're poor, you're rich in me. And when you see chapter verse 8, the message given to the angel of the church, and the Lord's name is called, I am the first and the last, which was dead in and is alive. It is not the way we write, isn't it? I, the Lord Jesus, write to Smyrna. He never represented himself, John, to the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given different names given in Revelation. As you see the same thing in verse 11 of chapter 1, I am he that liveth, verse 18 of chapter 1, I am he that liveth and was dead, behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen. Verse 13 of chapter 1 says, he is the Son of Man in the midst of seven, the Son of Man. And chapter 2 of Revelation and verse 18 says, he is the Son of God, the Son of God. And you see in chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, he is the faithful God and the true God, the faithful and true God. Revelation 5 and verse 5 says, the Lion, the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. 19:16 says, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The 22:16 says, he is the bride and the morning star. 19:13 says, he is the Word of God. Now, God represents with the name of God. John is reminding us, he is the one who conquered death. Today I and you have sitting here with peace, with hope, because Jesus, who was dead, is alive forevermore. And he lives in my heart and in your heart. And this is the hope we all have, that we shall see Him and be with Him one day. Now, what is the message you see God is giving to Smyrna? We read only a few verses, right? As you read verse 10, to this, the message He's giving is, firstly, there is a test coming, right? There is an examination coming to the church. There's a trial coming. There's a tribulation coming. And verse 10, the message starts with, fear not. Firstly, fear not. Fear not, Smyrna. Fear not, church. And secondly, you see, it is a measured trial and suffering. How many days in the prison? 10 days. 10 days in the prison. Some of you will be put in the prison for the faith. It has a beginning. It has an end. Whenever you go through trials and tribulation, the Lord knows how much I can take, how much you can take. He will never allow you more than you can take. We all know about how a goldsmith will make the gold purified. If he does more, it will be lost. He has to put it the right heart. He knows the trial and tribulation. It is measured. It is a testing time coming. Though they are faithful, though they are already faithful, though they have positive, the Lord's message for Smyrna was, there is more suffering. There is more time of testing. And the key message in verse 10 is, be faithful unto death. The church, be faithful unto death. Whatever you're going through, whatever the trials you're going through, what is the Lord expecting from us? That we be faithful in our trial, right? Being faithful in our race, be faithful to God. When you read about the word faithfulness, you know, there are various ways you can describe it. There are words Paul writes, be steadfast, right? Unmovable, be steadfast. If you're working in employment, your employer looks to you to be loyal, right? To be loyal. In early Christian life, I'm ashamed to say, when I was nearly a child, it was so easy for me to tell a lie, to say I'm sick, you know, when I wanted to. But when the Lord reminded me, it's unfaithful, to be unfaithful. Lord expects, not only in the how we serve the Lord even at work. We need to be faithful in all areas, being loyal. If you're faithful with little things, I'll make you faith ruler over many things. Being loyal, trusting at all times. Being reliable, right? If you want to give a job to someone, you want to see that that man or a brother or sister is reliable to do that job. God expects every child to be faithful, right? Every believer to be faithful in this journey, the race we are given. If you look at Matthew's Gospel, if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, we won't go into the parable, but most of you here, our brothers and sisters in Christ, you read about the parable of 10 talents. And in the summary, you know, there were two given, 5 and 2. They invested their time, their energy, and they were looking for the Lord. And what happened when they faithfully invested? It doubled. They were fruitful. But there was one, as you read in verse 25 and verse 26, 25 onwards, you see he was afraid, and you see he was lazy, he was wicked, servant. He hid the talent, he did not use the gift. And what did the Lord do to that servant? Unfaithful servant. Wicked servant. And in verse 30, he was cast as an unprofitable servant to outer darkness. But what are the words to a faithful servant? You see, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm sure all of you here present, we're going to meet the Lord for sure one day. We are all accountable with all the ministries, all the gifts, the time, the provision, how we manage, how we are faithful, God will examine. As God knew Smyrna, God knew us. And He is the rewarder. He will not even forget the one cup you gave it to a stranger. That's what you read in Matthew's Gospel. There was a question put by the Lord in 24, Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. That's a question mark there in my Bible. So the Lord is asking, who then is a faithful servant? And verse 46, the Lord answers, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. Blessed is that servant when the Lord comes. If the Lord was coming today, if I'm lazy, I'll be ashamed, right? If I'm unfaithful, blessed is that servant who's faithful always. John, and you're writing this book, which we have been blessed to read, at the old age, he's still writing. He's encouraging us. You know, sometimes when we become old, we feel, I'm retired with everything, but he's not doing that. He's faithful till end. And he's asking us also, the message for Smyrna, even for message for Redeemed Community Church, is to be faithful till end. Not just today, faithful tomorrow, faithful till death, if the Lord tarries. It so happened, I was encouraged about one of the animals which is faithful is a dog, right? Dog is one of the faith. I have had few pets myself. I know you have few here. There's a true story which happened in Japan in 1922. And a master bought a dog named Akita. And it only spent 16 months with that master. And the journey, the life they had with the dog was, the master is to go to work, and as soon as it comes back, it is to wait for it in a train station. It was a small town, so the master came, and they used to walk together to home. It only happened for 16 months. And this dog, Akita, became so friendly, so close to that master. And one day, this master died suddenly by stroke or some health issues. And you know what this dog did? It's this faithful dog. Every single day, it went back to the train station. It waited at 5 or 6 p.m. the train is to come. And the people of the town started watching this dog. Weeks passed, days passed. And the house owners tried to move that dog to different homes. It couldn't. It went back to the gardener who was looking after the home. You know how many years it came? 10 years after the death of the master. It went to the train station. It sat there. And the whole town acknowledged it. They collected the money. They fed it. After it died, they made a statue which still exists. They had 100th anniversary. This is a true story, by the way. And speaks about the faithfulness of that animal. This morning, brother reminded us, what is my value? How much Lord valued me? He gave it all. He's so much he valued me that he gave his life for me. I need to wait for my master every single day. I need to do the work of the Lord every single day and be ready for his coming. Faithfulness in life. As we look at this Smyrna, as we look at this town, 50 years after Apostle John, there came a great man of God. He was also martyred. Anybody knows who lived in Smyrna, was martyred around 155 AD? He's a great man.
Polycarp.
I know he's not in the Bible. He's not in the Bible. So when you see 155 AD in Smyrna, his name is Polycarp. If you have time, read about him. Wonderful account. If you don't have any time, I was watching a small documentary movie with a kids movie with Jewish Jonah. It's such an encouraging character. So Polycarp was 86 years of age, which I like to bring. So Smyrna, as you know, the church has began there when John is writing. The severe persecution, the Lord has reminded. Polycarp was a pastor of the same church at Smyrna. And it is also believed, many scholars say, Polycarp spent time with John in early days. Remember, if he's 86 years of age, and John is writing at 95 AD, you know. So there came a time in the emperor, I think in Domitian time, Polycarp was asked to stop sharing about the Lord Jesus. Stop witnessing, which he did not give up. And the story goes, that the soldiers were coming to take him, and he had a loyal friends. The friends asked Polycarp to go away to different town. And these are the words Polycarp said: "I will not go. This is the will of God. If this is the will of God, I am ready to die." So the soldiers came. As soon as the soldiers came, Polycarp asked them to have a meal with him first. He'll come with them. So he shared a meal with them, and he requested one thing. Polycarp said, "Give me 1 hour of prayer. I want to pray 1 hour and I'll come with you." And the soldiers were, he was 86 years of age, by the way, at the time. And the soldiers allowed him to pray for 1 hour. He prayed loudly and the soldiers heard the prayer. He prayed for them, I believe. And they were ashamed that they've come to take this old man to martyr. And they took him in a donkey to the emperor. And Polycarp was witnessed by an emperor to say that, to recant his faith, to say Caesar is the Lord. And Polycarp said, these are the exact words of Polycarp, I read: "I've been in service for 86 years. He has never done me wrong. How then can I blaspheme him, now my king and my savior? I've been in service for 86 years. The Lord has done nothing wrong to me. How can I now deny and blaspheme? He's my king and my savior." The emperor said, "You'll be burnt alive in fire." The words of Polycarp said, "You threaten me with a fire which will quench me for a while. Remember, there's a fire in hell, unquenchable. It will be forever." And he reminded Polycarp. And when he was put, this is how he was martyred. He was put alive in a fire. He was so gracious, he did not have to be tied. And the soldiers did not have to tie him, and they put him in the fire. And the bystanders gives the account, when they put him in the fire, it smelled like a bread baked. It was so fragrant. By the way, the town name Smyrna means myrrh. The meaning of the Smyrna means myrrh, actual meaning. It means suffering. And he was a fragrance, he gave an offering. One of the other accounts says how he died at the fire. The emperor was so ashamed, he asked the soldier to put a knife even in the fire to kill him. So God's faithfulness. We do not know whether, when we read about Revelation chapter 2, as we go back, you know, the message was imprisonment, suffering. And the message was very clear for Polycarp, who just lived about 50 years later of this message at Smyrna, that he was faithful till the end. Faithful till the end. Brothers and sisters, we are here enjoying the goodness of the Lord. You know, we are here able to come worship 10 a.m., come Friday, be able to go to tracks, able to do all that. It is all easy. Sometimes even when we are easy, we are lazy, right? When it's easy to preach, easy to witness, yet we are lazy at times. Yet we don't have time. Just take a moment and think, if you're living in a time like we're living at Smyrna, which could occur, the Lord has told to the churches to be ready, to be prepared, are we going to be faithful till the death? I want to put a question. Have we been faithful in our suffering? Have we been faithful in our trials? You know, we can look back at a trial or a test you're going through. You know, have I been rich in the Lord? You know, Smyrna was rich, spiritually rich. They were ready to overcome this trial and battle. When you talk about trial and tribulation, the word, it is an unpleasant surprise, right? If you go back in your lives, you get unpleasant. Suddenly things happen, you know. Even I was driving to Newcastle, I had a small incident in a vehicle. Unpleasant surprises, you know, could happen. Unpleasant surprises, and you get discouraged, you get fear. In this life, as a Christian, the Bible says you will have trials and tribulation. I'm not talking about accidents, you know, testing of your faith. The Lord says, be of good cheer, I have overcome. Be of good cheer, I have overcome this world. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you, he's greater, right? The one who lives in you is greater than the Satan, the enemy who can attack you. Clearly, the first thing we all face at times is fear, right? The fear grips and unpleasant surprises. We do not know how Smyrna was ready. Can someone read Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, if you have it? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about me, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Thank you, brother. What a comforting verse. Fear not, I am with you. I'll strengthen you, I'll be with you. Fear not. One of the words the Lord Jesus said, I am with you till the end of the age. Whatever you're going through, as the Lord said, I know Smyrna, I know you. I know what you're going through. Fear not. The second thing happens is, there was a time in my life when a trial and tribulation came. I felt God does not love me. You know, that could happen. You may feel that I've gone far from God and God does not care about me. God is punishing me. Yes, there are times we go through tests and trials and tribulation because of our sins and consequences. There are times that God has a purpose in that trial and tribulation. There's a time to humble us, transform us, equip us. But it is at times we may feel that God does not love me. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, it says like this. For the whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. So what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Firstly, brothers and sisters, if you're going through trial and tribulation, God loves you more. As a child, every believer will have trials since birth, since you know the Lord, unless you're like a thief on the cross. We just know the Lord and he died. We all will go through trial and tribulation. And whom the Lord loveth, he will chastise. If you're a good father, a mother, you want to train your child, right? He wants to train me. He wants to correct me. There are many things I have to learn. There are many things I have to learn. Sometimes I can learn easy way. Sometimes I have to learn hard way. Verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There is an end to the trial and tribulation. There is a purpose in a trial and tribulation. When the God allows trial and tribulation, it's peaceable, it eats fruit of righteousness. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4, you read the similar thought. In tribulation, you build patience, right? You learn patience. You build a character. The Lord is building a character. It should be the what you were before knowing Christ. As years have passed, we have learned more patience, more love. And that character builds what? Hope, right? It says hope. And the love of God is poured in your hearts. The hope is an anchor to your soul. We need to hold on to the hope. Now I'd like to bring to your thought, no one suffered like a man called Job, right? I don't think anybody had a calamity of unpleasant. If you turn with me to Job chapter 1. Here is a true story. What happened? If you are going through trial and tribulation, a good book to read is called Job. It's before Sam. He was a rich man, wealthy. He was also obedient to God. He was sacrificing daily. Yet God, as Smyrna had tribulation, God brought tribulation in the life of Job. He lost everything in a moment of a day. He lost his wealth. He also lost his children whom he loved, right? So suddenly it happened. What do you read in verse 20 of chapter 1? Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged foolishly. Nor charged God foolishly. How rich Job was spiritually. Though he was rich materially, he was very rich spiritually to overcome. He worshipped the Lord. He surrendered to the Lord. He said everything God gave, God took. And one of the things we see, the faithfulness of Job, he sinned not. He questioned not. And he committed. And one of the great famous verse of Job I like is 19:25. I know my Redeemer liveth. 19 verse 25. It says, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the later days upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in all my flesh shall I see God. Even in his physically, you know, he went through a lot. Health issues. He was having boils on his... Even in that, he said, I will see my Lord one day. And this is the faith. Abraham was also tested, right? One of the father of faith, Abraham, you read in Genesis 22, you can read it later. He was about 114 years of age or more when Isaac was a teenager. He had a promised child whom he loved, and God said, give me your son Isaac as a sacrifice. How many days journey he started? 3 days, right? When you want to do something to the Lord, 3 days is a long time. When he's taking Isaac. But one of the things you see is he did not waver, right? He did not waver. He did not say, I'll go back. I'll take a different road. He continued to Mount Moriah. He took the knife he was ready to offer. Where the Lord saw his faithfulness. God said, he became the father of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the friends of Daniel, they were in the land of Babylon, Iraq, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, you read an account of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were asked to bow down before an idol of Nebuchadnezzar. These are the words of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, which were put to fire. Similar like Polycarp, they were put to fire, they were ready to put to fire, and they said, God is able to deliver me out of this fire. Even if he does not deliver, I will serve the Lord. We will not bow down against the idol. Faithfulness. Even in a foreign land. You know, imagine you are in Babylon and you're asked. No fellowship. No brothers and sisters. Only few like Daniel, Ezekiel. But they were faithful. There came a big surprise in the life of Joshua. Joshua was comfortable with Moses being leading. Millions of people following. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses died. Moses finished his journey, and all the burden fell on Joshua. And Joshua saw millions of people, problems. And God spoke to Joshua in chapter 31, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. For not be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is liveth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake. Again the Lord spoke to Joshua again. When he was about to invade the land. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. This book of law shall not depart from you, Joshua. Meditate upon it day and night. We sang this song this morning. You are my strength when I am weak. Recently. He is your strength. He is my strength. Right? He is the only strength. And we can only take courage in the promises of God. In the faithfulness of God. And God continues to remain with us. James chapter 1. As we read Revelation 2, the Lord promised that he was faithful till the death. There is a reward, right? And the reward for Smyrna was the crown of life. The crown of life. The same promise James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. If I love him, I will do what the Lord will say. And when you go through a trial, and when you persevere, when you're patient, when you endure, when you finish this race with faithfulness, God is telling, I will give you the crown of everlasting life. It is beyond your eyes can, mind can imagine. The eyes have seen, our ears have heard. The Lord has told even in the Revelation, the life in abundance. No more sorrows, no more suffering, especially to be with the Lord in His holiness. No more sin. Yes, you want to know about materials, life, streets with gold or pearls. That won't satisfy you and me. Only thing will satisfy with everlasting peace, with being with the Prince of Peace, the God who loved you. That is what the God is promising, the crown of life. So never look, that's why Paul said, I look forward for the high calling. I press forward. We may have a past which has been a failure. We may have not been an overcomer. The Lord says we can, as Smyrna says, the church, the message the Lord gave to Smyrna was repent. Or other churches like Laodicea, he warned them to repent and set back. I will give you the crown of life. And there were various crowns, God willing, look at other churches. When we are tested, James also encourages what to do. In verse James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Four things in life we could do. First is Job submitted, right? The first thing Job did is cried to God. Lord, you have been given everything for you. Second, he said is he resisted. Third, we can do is turn to God. And there will be a time until he flees, we be patient in prayer and wait. Remember, brothers and sisters, these verses we are looking at, God is a faithful God. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The nature of God is, God himself is faithful. Philippians 1:6 says, the good work the Lord has begun will be accomplished. If you look at every part of God's creation, God created this world in 6 days. Just by the word of God, he did not get tired the fourth day saying, I'll do it. He finishes. You look at the nation of Israel, he has not yet given up. Would he give up on the church? The church is, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall never prevail it. He will have his church ready at his coming. He is the finisher. He is faithful. In Psalm 36 verse 5 says, his faithfulness reaches unto heavens. We have a song, Brother Aaron wrote that, mercy to the clouds, faithfulness to the heavens. Psalm 91 verse 4, we read, in times of difficulties, when you take refuge and strength, the faithfulness, the truth is like a shield. The God's faithfulness becomes like your shield. Now as you go back to Revelation chapter 2, you see verse 11, he that hath hear, let him hear, that the Spirit saith unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is the reward, the promise of God for every believer. He that overcometh, he that is faithful to the death, will not be hurt of the second death. Now what is the second death? We turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is second death. Unbelieving soul. Rejected God. They heard about the gospel. They did not repent of their sins. They were liars. They lived in their sin. In chapter 20, you read Revelation 20, verse 5. This is the account, as we all as a church been waiting for the rapture, which is going to take place. Then comes, after the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord has promised, told, revealed to the church, as Smyrna was told, 10 days of prison. There's a 7 years of tribulation. And then comes the second coming, right? And the church comes back with the Lord. And we have in Revelation, it rains 1,000 years of rain. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord has revealed the perishing soul, all unbelievers who died, all who rejected Christ. They will all be judged after the 1,000 years. And if you want to question, is a hell a real place? The Bible says the hell is a real place. We read it is the lake of fire. It is the second death. The first death, if I was to die today, if the Lord did not come, a physical death. I believe my soul will be secured in paradise as the thief went. But there is an account where the unbelieving, if you read in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, if you turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 16, verse 23 to 24, this is the story of a rich man and a Lazarus, which the Lord shared. The rich man was very wealthy. The Lazarus was a beggar. In verse 21, it says, he fed with crumbs, the rich man. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Later he says, that is how torment is hell. He asked somebody to go and tell his brothers not to come to this place. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. With not only for spiritual death, second death is spiritual death, eternal death. Our soul will live in two places, either in hell or in heaven. The choice we make here matters. God has given us free will to choose. Matthew 25 verse 41 says, this hell was prepared for devils and angels. Matthew's Gospel chapter 3 verse 12 says, the Lord will one day divide the chaff from the wheat, and it is called unquenchable fire. The words used for hell is unquenchable. It cannot be quenched. Continuous. Hell is a place no one the Lord desires anyone should perish. In Daniel chapter 12 verse 2, it's an Old Testament prophet. Return with me to Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. You can read it if you have it. Thank you. Many of them sleep. They shall awake, some to everlasting life. Blessed is he who has the part in first resurrection. But some to everlasting. The word uses everlasting contempt. Even you read in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, it's an everlasting destruction. The Lord said to Judas, who did not repent, it would have been good if you were not born. Those are the words the Lord used for Judas. Brothers and sisters, as we read this, what the Lord has revealed, it is important to take heed. It is the Lord's heart that none of us perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes will not perish, but will have eternal life. Promises of God, not only eternal life, rewards for your faithfulness. If you turn with me to John chapter Gospel 3, verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that not believeth is already condemned. Chapter 36, John's Gospel 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My sisters, by any chance here, you are here, you are not saved. You are not experienced the love of God. As God reveals His love, come to me, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. My yoke is meek. By faith, in believing, one can be saved from hell. This is the grace of God. This is the provision of God. What can God do? He gave Himself. All we do is believe in the provision the Lord has done through His Son and put complete trust and repent of your sin, believe and turn back and be faithful. So as we take this message from this small church, Smyrna, existed 2,000 years ago, you may go through trials and tribulation. You may be even having a blessed life. The Lord asks us to be faithful in every part of our life. Fear not. Do not feel that you are not loved. God loves you still. Take courage. Be strengthened in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. If you are feeling you are far from God, spend more time in prayer. He will strengthen you. Daniel prayed. He had many trials. The only way he strengthened is by prayer. So let us put the shield of God and believe in the faithfulness of God, and let us run this race by His grace, being faithful till the end. May the Lord bless the word. Let's pray. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for giving us this word this morning. We pray for, Lord, as You reminded us to be faithful till the end. Help, Lord, to the church to be faithful in our trials and tribulation. We pray for anybody here going through a difficult time, that You may strengthen them and empower us to be faithful and run this race, knowing that Lord, who You promised, is faithful God. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.